right, happy baby Friday. It's the Fan pregame. Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, the Fan for the next hour. Nothing going on tonight, but lots to celebrate from earlier in the day. We're going to head to Paris, talk to a friend of ours, my friend and yours, Brittany McLean. We're going to talk about Summer McIntosh, who won another gold today in the pool. We'll talk Felix, who advances to the semis to face Alcaraz, and lots more.
Yeah, it's a big show with Brittany McLean, yeah. Of course. No Jays tonight. You mentioned it, not much going on, but a big series versus the New York Yankees this weekend. Yankees had a good week themselves with a sweep over the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll have Ben Shulman on, who's been in the big chair.
On his day off.
On his day off, yeah. We'll have him on at 6:30 to discuss the weekend ahead and everything as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays at the moment.
Okay, so we'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, which is at 590-590, standard message and data rates may apply. What sport would you want to add to the Olympics? So we had some fun brainstorming this off the air. It can be something realistic, maybe not. There are always new sports being added to the Olympics. Today we were sitting around brainstorming. We'll get to that a little later in the show. So send us your submission for which sport you want to see in the Olympics.
Yeah, I think I'm going to surprise you with mine.
Okay.
I think it'll surprise you.
Okay, well, I got a good list, so we can go through those a little later in the show. Okay, so we mentioned it today was a great day for Canadians in the pool. The summer of summer continues. Summer McIntosh won another gold medal today, her second of the Olympics, her third medal in totality at this Olympics. She became the first Canadian to win two golds in a single summer Olympics since Donovan Bailey in Atlanta, and the first woman to ever do it herself. And she's still got another race coming up.
Yep.
And the best part about this, which I was, shout out Rogers Ignite, because I'm driving and I'm,
That's an admission.
Okay, you know, anyway, so Summer's winning her medal and it's the same event that her mom competed in the Olympics, the 200 meter fly in 1984. She sets an Olympic record with this win and I had Rogers Ignite to there get me go. There yeah. on Adelaide, and I was emotional.
Listen, it's a little stop and go, so I think
this
you're
is stop
safe
and go. It's
enough.
Traffic, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I Summer McIntosh probably doesn't feel this way because you know she's a successful athlete, 17 years old, Canadian legend, all those things.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be awesome to do the thing that your parent did, and like do it to the extent where no one can even touch you?
Yeah.
Like that would be awesome. You'd have bragging rights forever. You'd be able to be the Olympic champion in that event. Would be just tremendous. But yeah, I think everyone's sort of like, you know, you want to do what your parents do, idolize in some way. And she gets to do that at a level that no one else in the world could even touch because she just beat every other great athlete in the world at that event. So that's awesome. Summer McIntosh, the resume continues to fill out very nicely. A cool moment, whether or not you were in a car driving.
I just got to witness it. Unfortunately, Canada fell short of the podium in the 4x200-meter relay. They finished fourth. Summer also swam in that. It's like pretty crazy when you think about how many events they can jam-pack into a day, 2 days, 3 days. It's the sixth day of the Olympics now, and it's really jam-packed. When we talk to Brittany, we'll ask kind of how do you even regroup? Like, you're Summer McIntosh. You have all this expectation. You're 17. You win two gold medals. You got another one as well. Then you got to jump back in the pool and be the third leg of an anchor or of a race story for your team who finishes fourth. Just like your body alone, the amount of stress it's under, how do you keep your head right? How do you keep focus when you have all these expectations? And she just looks like it's another day of walk in the park.
Well, it seemed like it didn't affect Summer McIntosh because in that race, she made up some ground. It made it a little bit interesting for the Canadians late in that race. So I don't think the fatigue factor affected her that much. But maybe with Felix Auger-Aliassime, it has. I mean, Felix is having himself games. If we have a second star from an individual standpoint,
Summer, maybe Felix.
It might be Felix. Felix advancing in the semifinals, a huge victory over Casper Ruud. He was a big underdog going into that match, but he wins it, goes to the semis. He will play for a medal, but he also had to play the semis in the doubles
today. 2 hours later.
2 hours later. It seems he's like never has the opportunity to leave the clay court.
And he plays tomorrow morning against Alcaraz.
And he plays tomorrow morning. Like, it seems like all this, the condensed schedule here for tennis specifically, maybe not swimming as much, but this is a factor here for some of Canada's athletes. And I feel like it's kind of interrupting what could be a breakout moment for Felix. Yeah, I mean, he's going to play for a medal in the singles, and that's great. And he's mm-hmm. going to have the same opportunity.
Bronze medal, yeah.
In doubles. But if it was spaced out a little bit more, maybe Felix mm-hmm. could have taken more of advantage of coming into the form at a really, really important and beneficial time.
So he'll play for, they'll play for a bronze in the doubles, mixed doubles, but he's going to play. He's the first Canadian to reach a singles semifinal at Olympic Games, which is awesome. He really shines on the stage when it's like the Canadians, like the Davis Cup, when he gets his moment to represent mm-hmm. Canada. He really shows up. So Felix, someone to keep an eye on. We've got Canada basketball in the morning as well. And then obviously Canada soccer gets another big one on Sunday. But bonjour to a friend, Brittany McLean, joining us. I think it's midnight in Paris, and that's a kind of a fun thing. Hey, Britt, how are you?
I am better now. How are you?
We're good. We've been excited to chat with you. How are things? How's Paris? We miss you.
Good. I feel like it's such a, this is showbiz, but I had this nice setup and lighting and everything. And then 2 seconds before the interview, all of my internet crashed. So now I just ran in a closet. And this is it's really what you learn about the Olympics is you just go with the flow 24/7 and you just adapt and you do stuff at midnight and you love every second of it.
Well, it is a little disappointing, I'll be honest, because you and Scott Russell have like the best shot imaginable.
Yes.
For CBC's coverage with the Eiffel Tower in the background. Like, did we just like win a lottery for that, or does everyone have this perfect backdrop?
Yeah. So the way it is, it's so cool. So it's a 4-story like set up right in Trocadero Circle. Like, it's unbelievable. The first time I still actually, when I walk up there, it gives me goosebumps. But it's 4 stories and there are these little cubicles. So all of the Olympics rights holders can buy a cubicle like space. So you get the money view. And of course, NBC has like 20 of them. And so we're in this little cubicle, and actually funny enough, I just came from there less than an hour ago. And it started like storming in Paris, and it was this like stunning sheet lightning across, like, and the Eiffel Tower is glistening. Like, it's unbelievable. Every time I look at it, I'm like, I can't believe that we're here and that's the backdrop I get to look back on. Someone thought it was a green screen, but it's actually not. We're standing in the heart of it all.
Well, I did see, we were watching you obviously, and your hair was blowing. You can't make that up. Okay. There's no fans. It was real life. You were getting the elements. Yeah. So we appreciate you running around for us, but today was an amazing day to have you on. Summer, obviously getting another gold medal. Like, let's start with that. The connection with the family, winning the medal that in the race that her mom competed in, just it being her second gold. How are you wrapping up the summer of summer when you're trying to discuss it with colleagues, with friends, with family? You know Summer personally. She swam the same club as you. You've known her since she was like a little kid. And now she's delivering on the world's biggest stage.
Yeah. I mean, it's still surreal. Actually, I turned to Scott Russell tonight and he just looked at me and he said, "We're witnessing one of the greatest sporting moments in Canadian history." Oof. And it just feels like casual at this point almost, which we're just expecting it. And every time she races, we're like, okay, another one for Summer. But I mean, this buildup, you have to also pinch yourself sometimes to think about her only being 17 years old. Like, in LA, in 4 years, she'll only be 21, which for some athletes, like, they're entering the first evers of their sport, right? So, and that would be a third Olympics. So there's a lot of moments where I just have to take one step back and put reality into perspective. But honestly, just it's so exciting. I got the chance to be there last night because most of the nights I'm either at the TV Tower or we have a filming studio here at the Canadian Olympic House. So I don't actually get it to be there on the action. And last night I popped over for like a little 1 hour window, and the energy in that stadium at La Défense Arena, to put some, like, it's used for rugby. It's actually where Taylor Swift played when she was here. Oh. And it's this big stadium that they just plop a pool into. And so the arena is so excited. They actually had their Frenchman Leon Marchand win 2 golds last night, mm-hmm. Which I've never heard a sporting arena like that in my life. So bringing it back to what Summer's accomplishing, I just, like, every time she swims, I think it's really starting to set in for me and for her. Like, when she's watching herself, you see this joy in a whole different level that we've never seen from McIntosh, because she's so business all the time. Like, we've never seen her just dive in the water and do one event. We have stroke specialists that, you know, like Maggie McNeil and Kylie Moss, where they swim the butterfly or the backstroke. But with Summer, there's always something next. And so she always is like onto the next. She's going into recovery. She's going into her warm down. She is focusing on her race preparation. But to see her take these moments on the podium and just acknowledge it with the biggest smile on her face and to be draped in the flag, just goosebumps. Honestly, it's so special to get to witness it.
So I think Canada is like collectively trying to figure out how she is so comfortable. Mm. Because again, 17-year-old me, I wouldn't even want to like see in action in any sort of discipline. It would be all sorts of terrifying. But you just mentioned that she's on to the next. That might be part of it, but I want you to sort of lay out for us why she is or how she is the way that she is. And one of my theories is like knowing the range of outcomes coming in. Like if she knows and understands that if she just does what she does all the time, good things will happen. Is that like a comforting thing? Or is there something terrifying about that where it's like, what if I don't do exactly what I can do? I guess I'm asking about the psychology of someone you know, but aren't inside of her head. But how does Summer stay so cool?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite comments to make is like, if I knew how Summer was, how she got to be so successful, I would have somehow made it there myself, and I didn't. So I don't know what it takes exactly.
There's a bronze medal on the ledger, so.
Mm-hmm. But there's not two golds and a silver. Let's put that way. But I just think like the one thing I heard a quote the other day that really resonated, that the Olympics is like 90% mental and 10% physical, because every single person here has put so much work into this moment. But that part's over. Like getting to the games is the hard part. I get it. But showing up to the games and standing on the blocks, for our sport specifically, standing on the blocks, being composed with your mental game, like that's how you get through a 9-day competition. And that's what changes a gold medal from a bronze, you know? And so I think what she's done really, really well is she focuses on one step in front of her. So she might have a program that's really daunting if you look at it, but she and her coach have really fine tuned every single day to make sure she feels successful, to take on the next day and to take one step forward. So they really worked a lot on that. She's been pretty open that she's kind of made sure she's more holistic as an athlete. So working on her nutrition and her mental game and to make sure she's on top of the stuff outside of the pool. Like, I know school is also really important to her. And so to be on top of that, and she moved to Florida to be the best athlete she could be. And so there's so many factors that make an athlete who they are. But I think the one beauty of McIntosh is she is able to take the pressure on with ease. And we saw it like going into last year's World Championships, I think was her first test where she was going into the 400 freestyle, the world record holder. And there was two others chasing. This was, we call it like the three-headed monster, Ariane Titmus and Katie Ledecky, the three greatest of all time, I say, but really the greatest of all time in that event, the 400 freestyle. And that was night one of Worlds. And she came into it and did not perform. She actually was off the podium. She was fourth. And I think, honestly, that was the best thing to ever happen to Summer McIntosh. And I know in the moment it was heartbreaking and it was sad. And in the, we were all kind of just kind of, okay, like, let's take a deep breath. She's 16 years old and just came fourth at Worlds. Like, it's going to be okay. But I think if she just continued on this trajectory of perfection, it would have actually deterred her from what she's capable of doing. And going to these Olympics, she knows what it is like to be disappointed, but she also knows the elation of getting it done. And I think there's a beauty right now that she's racing with absolute confidence, but also with ease. Like, she got the hard one out of the way. She's now able to just kind of enjoy the process and enjoy the moments.
Okay, so Summer wins the 400-meter individual medley. And we look at some Olympic events like decathlon and be like, oh, that's the greatest athlete in the world. I look at that race and I'm watching that race thinking, okay, you do everything better than everybody else and you do it for distance. Does that mean, Brittany, that she's the greatest swimmer in the world?
I think so. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I do think so. Like, that rationale makes total sense even as like a swimmer. I think when you have to be, it's kind of like with the medley relay on the last night of finals at the games. It's always every country puts forth their four best swimmers, one in each stroke. So it shows like the depth of a country in swimming, because it's kind of just like showing their best breaststroker, backstroker, you get the point. So with the 400 IM, I see that as the best all-around swimmer, because you have to be able to do them all and you have to be able to do them well, and you can't really have a weakness. And if you do, it catches up to you. So, I mean, we're looking at the Frenchman, Léon Marchand, who swims the same event, world record holder in the 400 IM. That's who I was mentioning at the off the top of the crowd just goes berserk for this guy. Like, we were actually watching from TV Tower, and they were just showing his race in a semifinal down in the kind of celebration area. And it was like they were having a rave down there. And this was a semifinal. So I can't even imagine, I mean, what tomorrow night's going to be. It just continues to build every night. They've had to, like, add celebrations throughout the city so they can cheer on Leon. But he also swims at 400 AM. And one thing I've always admired about the Michael Phelps program was that you have to be versatile. And so a lot of the things that swimmers really look up to, especially when they're young and trying to kind of do it all, is the people that can swim a 400 AM. So I agree with that. I think I would put her as the greatest all-around swimmer at this current moment. Obviously, there's athletes like Katie Ledecky, who's just phenomenal. Last night, she's the top 25 times ever by the 1500 freestyle. Like, when you talk about dominance, there are so many other athletes that come to mind. But at the peak, at this very moment, I think Sarah McIntosh is the greatest female swimmer today.
We're chatting with Brittany McLean of CBC Sports and former Canadian Olympic swimmer. Okay, so you have a great thing going on your social media. Everybody should check it out. But you're doing Brit's Brain. And one of your Brit Brain shares that you did was about the pool. And I want you to explain to us, there may be controversy, maybe not, but this pool isn't setting world records. Is it a slow pool? How do you just explain pools? Give us a nerd pool talk here.
Yeah, well, it is a super fascinating topic. I think everyone assumes, like, it's an Olympic pool. Why would it ever be different? These are actually temporary facilities. As I mentioned earlier, it's just built within a stadium. So they're like a kit you can buy. And there is a range in the depth of the pool. So the length of the pool is always 50 meters. The width of each lane is 2.5 meters to bring the 10-lane pool to 25 meters. Sorry, I'm throwing out a lot of numbers.
That's good Georgia math right there.
Yeah, there you go. The problem is that the depth is actually a range. So it can be anywhere between 2 and 3 meters to be legally, like, sanctioned as an international swimming facility. So the thing is, you're like, why would it be different? Well, they did a range because not every facility around the world was able to do the depth the same, depending on where they're building. And there was a lot of rules that I won't go into. But this pool is only 2.15 meters deep. So it's closer to the minimum than it is to the maximum. And the thing with that is that the shallower pools create a little bit more wake in the water. So there's a bit more friction. You'll see it. You can notice a little bit. I'm on the side of this conversation where I don't want it to be like the only story told at the games. I think it's super valuable to talk about, which is why I love chatting about it. But I think tonight they're starting to prove, last night and tonight, they're starting to prove that at the end of the day, you're all at the peak athletic performance. You are all swimming in the same pool. Attack your races the same way you would, and do what you can with what you're given. Like, it is unfortunate when there's not a million world records broken at an Olympics, but it's still a fast pool. Summer McIntosh broke an Olympic record tonight, and her time, other than one singular Chinese swimmer from 2009, is the fastest since then ever. So, like, she's the second fastest performer ever with that time tonight. And I can't think that there's a massive change. I can't speak to it because I haven't swam in it. So I will not discredit any of the success or lack thereof in the pool. But the science behind it really is that there's more friction. So there's it bounces. There's a smaller area for it to bounce out the bottom of the water. So there's more wake in the pool.
Listen, if you can have a venue that can do Olympic swimming and Taylor Swift, you make a concession with world records,
yeah,
right?
That's
I mean,
fine.
You got to give it up somewhere.
Okay, Britt, you're wearing a couple hats, obviously. You're not just doing a television analyst with CBC for the swimming. You're kind of running around helping the athletes. So I hope you've been able to see some other action. Is there something that's been taking your attention, the little bit amount of time that you do have, as a story from the Canadian side of the Olympic Games that's just fascinating to you?
Yeah, I mean, I just love living in this little bubble. Like, I truly feel like you're in this whole other world, and I soak up every second I can. I haven't gotten to go to any events because my days are kind of working with a 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. the following morning. So I haven't actually gotten the chance to see any other than that quick 1 hour of swimming, which is great. So I think I'm based out of Canadian Olympic House, which is amazing because that's where they show a lot of the sports. And if family and friends don't have tickets, they'll come here and watch. And so one of my favorite memories was when the rugby seven girls qualified for the gold medal match. The energy was electric, and to see what that team has been through and what it meant to them to get to the gold medal game. And also when you make it to the gold medal game, of course, you're fighting for gold, but you're also guaranteed a medal. Mm. So there was this eruption. Rugby sevens is also so fast paced. Like it was, I turned away and like eight more things had happened. So I really enjoyed that memory. And then I think my other highlight has to go to Krista Deguchi winning the first gold medal in judo. It was, none of us knew what was happening. I'll be honest, like the rules of judo, they have like 0-0 points. And like, I just was trying to follow it. And I'm like, that looked really good. But then she got tackled that way. But to see, she's been the world number one for a little bit, but this is her first Olympic Games. So we have the two best in Canada in judo in the same weight class. So Krista last games actually didn't even qualify. So to see her turn around from not qualifying to come into these games with the expectation of doing well and to come in as the world leader and then to win the Olympic gold, where so many different factors can go wrong in this space, that one was really special. And she came through later that night. It was actually one of the around this time, a little after midnight, she was finishing up interviews and I held her medal. And I think there's this little athlete mindset that you don't ever wear someone else's medal because you didn't earn it yourself. But I just like stood and stared at it for a second. And they, by the way, I don't know if you've heard, but they actually each have a piece of the Eiffel Tower, which is really cool. So they've taken, by the way, they didn't take apart the Eiffel Tower for this. It was, it was a part of the last reconstruction where they like saved a beam within the Eiffel Tower. And so the middle of the medal is a piece of the Eiffel Tower, which I thought was really cool. And they're so heavy. So sharing in that moment with some of the athletes as they come through here in victory and defeat, to be honest, because as much as the highlights are really special, we've seen some athletes where the name of the game is you do your media obligations no matter what. And so often they come through after heartbreak, but you can kind of be those people that either provide them a sense of encouragement, or sometimes it's just a light tap on the shoulder to say, we're really proud of you, or you'll gain. But for me, I ended my last Olympics with a little bit of disappointment as well. So sometimes I just like to share, you know, years from now, there'll be perspective you can gain from it, but you're allowed to be disappointed, and you watch them hug their families and embrace. And so whether the highs or the lows, there's some magical moments in the between, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, getting pieces of like every Olympic moment is very cool. I could think of way worse things to do over the space of 2 weeks than hang out at Canada House and just like see all that up close.
Exactly.
It would be incredible. Last one for you. We're keeping you long. We appreciate the time. It's past
midnight.
She says
she works till 2. She's got another hour.
Yeah, I guess maybe we're keeping you from something else. but this, we just did, you know, what has happened. What's to come is still very, very exciting as well. And the pool will wrap up, I believe, shortly, so you'll get maybe more time to look ahead and maybe go to more venues. Is there an athlete, an event, something in the next week that you need to carve out some time to spend to watch the event or to hop on a train, to hop on a bus, whatever you need to do to be there?
Yeah, great question. I would have loved to see gymnastics in person. I was watching it tonight and that looked so iconic, and it's brought out all the celebrities. Like, I don't know if you've seen, but everybody with, you know, the who's who's of Hollywood are all in Paris right now watching gymnastics. That would have been cool. I won't get out to that. I think athletics is always, swimming takes a lot of the kind of evening slots of the first week, but then it shifts to athletics. So I'm hoping to get out maybe to a session of that. That would be awesome. We have like some of the best throwers in the world right now. So the one good thing about, again, my worst case scenario being at COH is that they all kind of come through here after and get to take in those moments. One thing I am looking forward to is the swimmers are all coming in together on one day. So to plan the day around, one of my jobs is I'm an athlete coordinator. So I'm going to build all their schedules and exactly all the interviews they're going to hit within here. And we've got the Radio Canada, we've got the CBC, but we also have the non-rights photos media, and they have sponsored, there's a million different things for them to do. So to get to celebrate them all and to kind of take that next step in my path and to know I have a role here that I can help with in a different capacity is great. So just a lot more joy throughout the COH and to be there for athletes in sorrow as well. And whether I get there physically or not, just walking the streets of Paris, to be honest, is like a pinch me moment because it is stunning. And there's just so much I've been to. My last games was a COVID games in Beijing. And so to be there on the ground, I have incredible highlights, and Ailish knows one well, but to be able to be with the women's a hockey team when they won gold. And yeah. I just happened to be in the village and I was the first person to be able to like hug some of them and bring them their burgers after their game. And like, it just, those moments you can't ever predict, but you also can never take them for granted. And so I'm ready to soak up whatever the next, I don't even know what day it is nor what day we have left, but I'm here for it. I'm ready.
Well, you're doing an amazing job. We get to see you every day. So selfishly stay there and keep killing it. But then we'll see you when you're back in a few weeks. Britt, thanks for coming on and staying up late for us.
Thank you.
We're going to bug you for some of those athlete requests.
Yeah, you're booking
days.
We're 6 to 7 Monday through Friday.
So we'll take an athlete, okay?
Hey, it'll flow. Actually, I'm only on the CBC request. So Sally won't come through me, but
okay.
Come on.
I'm happy to come on the show anytime myself.
Yeah,
and it is an honor to finally get to be a guest. I don't know if everybody knows, but Ailish officiated my wedding. So we're very honored to get the chance to have this conversation today. And I'm just so proud of all the work you're doing.
That sounded like an official speech. Yes, we're all gathered here today.
We are gathered here today to celebrate the conclusion of our interview. Thank you, Brittany.
We now pronounce this interview over.
Thank you.
There we go.
You did it.
Perfect.
All right. See you, Brittany. Brittany McLean, Olympic swimmer, one of my bridesmaids.
There you go. Yeah,
that's
kind of downplayed the connection off the bat. You could tell there was something there.
It's not about us. It's about the stories. And she puts a great... She's the best. Great perspective. Like, just soaking in the moments with the athletes and in highlights and in sorrow. Like, you share the videos online mostly of summer winning gold, but there's been a lot of really tough moments of, like, devastation. You come fourth, you come fifth. Like, and that's when experience from somebody that's an Olympian, that's been there, that's won, that's lost, can be really grateful. So Brittany's doing it all. She's killing it on TV and helping the athletes get all their coordination for the next couple weeks. So looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, working two jobs, never the best, but those are two jobs
I'd
sign up for. I think those are pretty good ones.
Yeah, and the shot that she's talking about with the Eiffel Tower behind her, like Scott Russell.
It's really good. The Paris aesthetic has been really spot on.
Yeah.
With the broadcasting.
Like, we had it in Toronto. Every shot would just have the CN Tower.
Yeah, and it's not quite the Eiffel
it's
Tower.
It's not the same. It's not the same. Okay, so let's take a quick break because we don't want to keep Ben Shulman waiting too much after the other side. But we're going to take your text at 59590 with standard message and data rates applying. Which sport would you want to add to the Olympics? I already got a couple here in the text line, so send a few more in. There's some good ones. And we'll get to that at the end of the show. We'll do some best bets. And I think we have tickets to give away for TFC game. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. No Blue Jays tonight. We're going to tee up a really big weekend ahead against the Yankees, but we said we had tickets to give you, and so we will give you that information now.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Toronto FC taking the pitch for the annual League's Cup tournament. 3 countries, 2 leagues, 1 champion, and a World Cup-style tournament. Woo. This is your chance to win tickets to the game on August 4th, BMO Field, 8 p.m., as they take on Liga MX's Pachuca, their second game of the group stage. It's a big game.
My dad's birthday, too.
There you go.
Big day.
For a chance to win these tickets, text today's code word Leagues Cup to 59590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Again, today's code word is Leagues Cup. Text this to 59590 right now. Enter for your chance to win. If you don't win with us, you can secure tickets to Saturday's match at Ticketmaster.ca.
All right.
Pachuca. League MX, Mexico.
August 4th, my dad's birthday.
There you go.
All right, let's roll on here with the Toronto Blue Jays, bringing in a Ben Shulman who joins us. Ben, I know it's your day off. I feel terrible. You're in New York City and you're talking to us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Not a problem at all. Hope you're both doing well.
We are. We've been just living in the world of Olympics and the Blue Jays, which is... been kind of fun. At least there's been content. The trade deadline has passed.
Been a better week.
The Blue Jays have like a bunch of new names for you to learn and be studying up for. How has this been the process wise for someone that covers this team and now you have like 18 new faces to learn?
Yeah, definitely a busy week. You know, a lot happened, and the doubleheader day with the rain out and then the trade deadline's going on. or in general, four games in 48 hours in Baltimore. It was definitely a busy stretch for sure, but a lot of fun. And, you know, it's always, I think, interesting for fans and media and everyone else to have some new faces. So it's been exciting, although it's been, you know, definitely a busy time.
Okay, so we're not going to see all the new faces. That would be too many, like 14. We're not going to see 14 before the end of the season, but we will see a few. So which debut, which stretch of play is most interesting? Understanding that, you know, the value on these prospects is going to be seen in the future, but we can see some of it in the immediate term. So if it's Liprofito, if we see Jake Bloss, like, who stands out as particularly interesting right now among the newcomers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you put the three guys that the Blue Jays got from Houston and Jonathan Clase probably right at the top of that list. But I'll go with Jake Bloss, and simply for the fact that the Blue Jays need to fill a spot in the starting rotation, it seems, going into next year, with Yusei Kikuchi no longer being there and Alek Manoah and Ricky Tiedemann injured to start the season. So if Jake Bloss can really, you know, show himself to be a reliable starter and the Blue Jays can put him in that number five spot going for next season, that opens up a lot of opportunities. Starting pitching is expensive, and having to pay for it on the free market would take away from paying for bats and paying for other things that the Blue Jays might want to do. So I think if you can lock up a starter, that's going to save so much money for free agency that can make Jake Bloss's emergence and whoever they use the money for a very exciting part of next season.
So could be a spot open in the rotation, could be a spot open potentially in the outfield, I suppose. Loprofito is the one we're going to see right away, made his debut yesterday. You know, do we have to see something in the immediate term for him to be in the plans? Is he not going to be in the plans anyway? Like, how close is this prospect to being, yeah, he's at the major league level right now, but a day-to-day routine, everyday MLB player?
Yeah, I think, you know, we still have to see a decent amount until we know if he's an everyday player. I think he's proven through his work in the minor leagues that he's a major league player for sure. And I think that, you know, the power that he provides, the speed that he has, and the defense that he can play can be used in some way. I think what we'll start to learn over the rest of the season is how much he will be playing, if he's an everyday guy or if right now he's more part-time and maybe used in certain matchups. I don't think that whether he's great or whether he doesn't have success, that means everything going forward for him. You can have great parts of seasons and you can struggle going forward, or vice versa. So I think that it is nice, though. It's a good audition in his first major league season to see what they'll use him for next year out of the gate. I think if he's really, really good, they'll probably plan for him to be a starter, maybe in left field with Varsho in center and Springer in right next year. And if he struggles a little bit, maybe, you know, he begins next year in a part-time role and ends up kind of moving forward from there.
So I know Justin mentioned, like, there's a lot to watch over the next 2 months. Obviously, the Blue Jays are really not pushing for the playoffs. I wonder, when you think of, like, the mentality of these players, I'm going to do a positive spin. Maybe there's something freeing. You know, you just have to play baseball. You don't have to worry about standings. I'm trying too hard. But I wonder if...
Hey, could be part of the Vladdy success.
Okay, and so that's where I'm going with this. Vladdy has been playing out of his mind. Like, he's just like a free, confident... maybe less pressure, because right now it's just play good baseball. Is this maybe where we see some of these young guys' talent? They did no pressure on them. You're going to fill a roster spot because there's nobody else at this point. Or is there like a recipe for disaster where not having expectations and pressure on you, maybe you just fall apart? Like, how do you view the next 2 months, like trying to play good baseball with really no meaning?
I think for the young guys, there's actually still a lot of pressure, because I think they know that this opportunity is somewhat of a tryout for next season. So I think especially when you talk about guys, you know, that are still first year players or haven't had a long time in the major leagues, I think that they have to deal with the pressure of trying to make sure that they perform well enough that they're in the plans for next season. When you talk about the more established guys, like a Vlad Guerrero Jr. or George Springer, you know, I don't think they have that kind of pressure. They know that they are part of the plans going forward next season, and unless moves were to happen. So I think for them, you know, for Vlad, I don't see it as the pressure thing. I think that this run started while the Blue Jays were still at least, you know, somewhat in the race. I think for him, it's just a lot of things coming together to kind of realize the talent that's always been there, but hasn't popped out as consistently as we maybe thought it would. And for guys like Springer, for a Chris Bassett, a Kevin Gausman, you know, getting back to your career averages, trying to, you know, get seasons together that can build momentum into next year. I still think there's a decent amount to play for, not to mention, I do think that regardless of the situation, they just want to go out and win every night. I think that they have a lot more fun when they're winning, you know, and they want to do that. They're very competitive people. So I think a lot of the pressure goes to the younger players and the guys that are trying to make the team. And for some of the more established players, it can get a little bit, you know, I think in a good way, selfish, where you kind of start worrying about your individual season and what can I put together now that I can, you know, be happy with and take forward into next season.
So plenty of reason to look forward this week with 13 new prospects coming into the system. It upgrades the system based on rankings, and that's all great stuff because, hey, the system wasn't great. But the Blue Jays were able to sign first round pick Trey Savage today. And he's definitely a big part. Yeah, at the buzzer. So if it happened at the buzzer, which it did, is there a major sigh of relief that they were able to get this done?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, like, sometimes this happens. You go down to the buzzer and that there's some sort of understanding that they are going to get together eventually and make sure that this happens. But at the same time, there were three or four guys that went in the first 10 rounds of the draft this year that didn't sign. And that doesn't happen very often. You don't often see 2 second round picks go unsigned. So definitely it's got to be a sigh of relief and a big win that you can get this done, because you don't want to lose those draft picks. You do end up getting a compensatory pick the next year, but the Blue Jays want their prospects in the system and progressing to the majors as quick as possible. So it is a big deal, I think, that they got him signed, and now everyone can get together and work towards developing you Savage into a major leaguer.
All right, so let's look ahead to this weekend. Tomorrow night, it's Kevin Gausman and Marcus Stroman on the mound. I think there might be some weather issues in New York, so hopefully they get to play all these games. But Yankees just swept the Phillies. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They got Jazz Chisholm, who just got 4 home runs in 4 games since becoming a Yankee. So a lot going on with the Yankees. Obviously, they're a half a game back from the Orioles, and they're fighting for first place. So, like, how do you tee up this weekend for us? We're going to watch some Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an incredibly important series in the race of the AL East. The Orioles are starting a series tonight. I think it might have actually just started against Cleveland. And obviously, if you're the Yankees, you're looking at that, and that's a division leader in Cleveland, and they have an opportunity against a Blue Jay team that, you know, has lost more than it's won this year. And so I think that they're looking to capitalize and take the advantage. The Blue Jays are obviously trying to play a little bit of spoiler there and hold off the Yankees. Some pretty big pitchers are going to go. You know, Gerrit Cole is expected to pitch in the series after missing his last start with body fatigue. And the Yankees, who really weren't playing all that well over the last month or so, all of a sudden, you know, like you said, they get Jazz Chisholm. Giancarlo Stanton is back and feels like it's a shot in the arm. That's a huge series that they just took from the Phillies. And so they might be kicking it into gear, and the Blue Jays could be catching the Yankees at a dangerous time.
We're only 2/3 of the way into the season, which seems incredible. So I hope your stamina is holding up.
You don't have body fatigue like Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
I always have body
fatigue. Me too. Yeah.
No, you're too young for that, Ben. You're too young.
Yeah, Ben.
Too young for that. But, you know, if you're covering, you know, we do Maple Leafs broadcasts, and you see a lot of teams, obviously, and you see them anyway, and we're seeing a lot of teams, but you're seeing everything up close and personal. You got a bit of a different view than most people. During this season, the 2/3 that we played so far, have you seen a team that's like, wow, that looks like a World Series champion to me? Because I feel like that happens to me over the course of an NHL season for sure, where you just see something, you just see a period, and you're like, oh, that could be the Stanley Cup champion. Have you encountered then, Ben, the World Series winner yet this year?
I think there's two answers I have, and they're unfortunately kind of boring. It's not the Orioles and the Phillies, because I think that would be the most boring answer.
That's, yeah, there you go. Not that boring.
I think that the Dodgers, when they came to Toronto, you just look at the overwhelming talent they have.
Yeah.
You know, if they can just have their pitching healthy and going in the playoffs, I mean, they're an easy pick every year, and they've only won it once in this kind of decade of success. But I really, you know, would definitely give them a good shot to make it. And then maybe a little more off the board because they only kicked it into gear somewhat recently. But I think the Houston Astros are really clicking at the right time. They really, really had a slow first couple months for a while, trailed the Blue Jays in record and were really behind in the American League West. But they've gotten it all together. You know, if they can get Kyle Tucker back and healthy, you know, I know that the Yusei Kikuchi trade wasn't super popular among talent evaluators, but it did make them better right now, even though it might hurt them in the future. And so I think that they look very dangerous, and kind of the moment that you forget about the Houston Astros is probably the moment that they're going to come back and hurt you. And if they won the World Series this year, I really just wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, you just made Justin so happy because we did a whole segment yesterday about how he thinks the Astros are going to win the World Series, and you can't see his fist because we're on a three-way screen
trying to be
here,
professional,
but he's fist bumping all of your answers, Ben. So you made Justin happy, so we'll see how it all ages. Well, enjoy this weekend. We appreciate you coming on your day off. Have fun in New York and have a great call, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Talk to you both soon.
Yeah, that's Ben Shulman on the call this weekend for Yankees Jays. That gets off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and it's Stroman and Gausman.
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
That is a great matchup. Gerrit Cole with body fatigue is the most relatable thing I've seen so far.
Also tomorrow, Yusei Kikuchi will pitch for the Astros against the Rays.
That's your guy.
I feel like, you know, you don't have to get on board with me. But if we're doing like second teams, because you need one, you need to adopt a second team at this point because it's not going to happen for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And I know there's a lot of cheating, but Yusei Kikuchi's our guy. I'm willing to transfer for reasons other than just Yusei Kikuchi some of my fandom for the short term.
Okay, we have less than 10 minutes. We asked you a little earlier. We opened up our text line. It's at 595-90 standard message and data rates may apply. What sport would you add to the Olympics? So we got a lot of answers. Should we read some of our listeners?
Yeah, give
first?
Us a couple.
Okay. The very first person that was fired up was Claudio from Barrie. They should put arm wrestling in the Olympics. That was one we talked about.
I personally hate watching arm wrestling because I always feel like someone's arm is going to break. I squirm when I watch it. I can't.
Did you
I
see Jason
not.
Kelsey doing an arm wrestle against a U.S. Olympian?
No, because I turn it off every
chance
I get.
And he's holding onto the table. He almost got beat.
I don't like it at all.
Make sure you add your name so we can say your name. We got to add hide and seek. Also, ping pong and no baseball. Baseball is coming back. We have in 4 years in L.A. returning to the Olympics is cricket, lacrosse, baseball, softball. And debuting is squash and flag football. Okay. So these ones are already coming, which is exciting because softball and baseball and lacrosse definitely should be, you know, back in there.
I don't know, but definitely. I like the team sports. The team sports really stand out to me. Like, clearly this basketball run's awesome. The Canada soccer run is awesome. But some of it doesn't translate. Okay, and I don't know if all of them are going to translate.
I love the World Baseball Classic.
That it is. Awesome. And that might be.
And I love softball as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Didn't know you're
big in college.
Guy.
We go watch the softball team a lot. We are best friends.
Okay. So what are you adding then?
Well, can I read a couple more of the text
line? I didn't know we had more.
We have 100 more. So stop at.
Okay, I will stop talking.
They should add dodgeball to the Olympics. That'd be awesome. We've got cheese rolling. This is Blake in Mississauga. Have you seen the big cheese rolling that happens in
the
UK?
Is that when people are like falling down with the cheese
amazing.
Or is it just the cheese?
But you're chasing the cheese.
You're chasing the cheese.
Quidditch or underwater hockey. I don't know anything about underwater hockey. Is that a real thing or not? Lacrosse is getting a lot of excitement online as well. Lawn bowling. Hold on to that because I have a comment about that. Pickleball, we're getting a lot of pickleball responses. So
it's inevitable that
pickleball will be in there in the next decade for sure. Ringette has been overlooked for far too long. That's Gordon Calgary. Randy in Moncton says, I'd love to see baseball and softball. Well, guess what? 4 years from now. Frisbee golf. We're getting frisbee golf, lawn bowling, darts. Okay, lots. The slapping the face one.
No, we're not. There's no power slapping.
No power slapping. Okay, this is my actual submission. Darts and bowling. Two things that when you see a viral clip, you can't skip
darts
it.
Darts is electric.
Darts is electric. Like, who do you think I am, you are, whatever.
Yes, I
almost nailed it. And bowling, I love to watch a good bowling. Like, when someone's a good bowler, which I'm not, they're pretty awesome at it. So
I actually have, you know, my, like, general rule here kind of goes against both of those. Okay. Because I feel like there should be, like, a degree of athleticism. Like, I understand darts, there's, like, that's an athletic movement.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't have to be an Adonis, clearly, to be good at either of those.
But that's why it's relatable.
So, like, I know, like, the biggest meme right now is the shooter who's got, like, his hand in his pocket.
So that's
looks
why
like he's
not
45
everyone
years
needs to be
old.
Ripped.
No, but, like, I kind of think you should be, like, an athlete. Like, the Olympics were created, like, Greek gods and whatever, you know? Like, that's,
no,
we're moving
I
away
like
from that.
That we're a bit more human. Like, I want to see somebody crush a burger.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
Nail some
I don't know
darts.
If I want to. I don't
okay,
know if
so
I want to
submit?
See the burger crushing. You could do it celebratory after. Okay, so we talked to Brittany McLean about the best swimmer in the world might be from the freestyle IM, which Summer McIntosh evidently is, which is great. And I love that. I love that we can say Summer McIntosh is the best swimmer in the world. I love that we can say when Damian Warner wins the decathlon that he's the best athlete in the world because he did all the things that make a track athlete brilliant. And I don't know if I really even support this at all, this being CrossFit.
Whoa. Oh.
But I think if you can say, instead of just weightlifting where you're doing the snatch over the head or whatever in your weight class, like, that's impressive. But I'm not a CrossFit guy, clearly. But I would maybe put CrossFit in because you can say at the end of it, the gold medalist is the most fit person in the world. And if I'm against bowling and I'm for athleticism and fitness and people being at a level that the mere mortals can't ever dream of, I'm okay giving a gold medal to the most fit person in the world. And if CrossFit gives you that, add CrossFit to the Olympics.
I know a lot of people that compete in CrossFit.
Okay.
And I think they would be very loud and proud.
That's
to
my
be
one person.
Very
I don't want to be like
gold medal in
I don't
CrossFit.
Want to be in the CrossFit atmosphere.
The CrossFit people are just really passionate
really excited about
CrossFit.
They're really excited.
Yeah.
And if you put a gold medal on the line, maybe the enthusiasm would bring special results from an entertainment standpoint.
Mike in Port Hope, shout out Port Hope, my parents' hometown, or live there now. Horseshoes.
Again, you
so
can,
the, so the,
if you
on,
can have a beer in your just, hand, just, that's my like rule. Beer in
no,
hand and you can
no,
do
no,
it.
No.
I don't know
okay,
if
so
we should
we,
be.
Think about beer Olympics.
Yeah.
Cornhole,
save that for,
horseshoes.
Save that for us.
Spikeball needs to be in the Olympics.
Spikeball, I can get behind.
I love spikeball. I would be putting my name in the Olympic trials for spikeball.
That might be played at a higher level than
you don't
show.
Know my spikeball skills.
I don't,
skills.
But I could like imagine.
We used to do that for our warm up before hockey games.
Okay.
Like, we didn't just play it up at, you know, your cottage in Muskoka. This was like a way to prepare for professional hockey.
I got one more. What are your thoughts on capture the flag?
That's so dumb.
Why?
I don't really see how it works.
Well, if you don't know the game's great.
I know it, but
and
like,
it's like if you that was
gonna
played
put all the countries in there, like the Hunger
tournament,
Games,
just like basketball.
No. Okay, let's speed through a couple more here. Hot dog eating, you know, I'm in for that one. Here's a good point, Ian saying air rifle doesn't require fitness, Mr. Fitness Dude.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like it. The meme with the guy shooting.
Yeah,
it's like,
awesome.
Dude, that's not. When I see an Olympian, it's not the guy with the hand in the pocket holding the gun. Like,
okay,
it's just
I think they need some sort of inline hockey, roller hockey,
street hockey.
Street hockey.
I like street over.
Some sort of version of hockey in the summer. Other than I know
I
field hockey's.
Is.
I know field hockey's there, everybody.
Yeah.
But okay, what about tug of war? Now we're talking
again. It's
like you got three Bulgarians. On one side, we're taking home the gold medal.
I would sign up to see 5 to 10 Bulgarians
yeah,
pulling on a rope together.
We would
I could get
take
behind
down
that.
The Eiffel Tower. Soccer, baseball, you wrote here? That's a good one.
I just like soccer,
I
baseball.
Used to
the best.
Demolish people
I
at
bet
soccer
you did.
And baseball. That was my
Sutton
favorite.
Kids are still like,
yeah, that
still
park
having nightmares
public.
Over you just
couple balls on the roof
comebackers
still.
Back at the pitcher.
Domination is true. Okay, should we do a quick best bet?
Sure, let's do it.
Ah, sorry, we ran out of time. This was so much fun. Okay, my best bet is Summer McIntosh. You can bet her plus money, plus 175 to win the 200-meter individual medley gold. She's got a couple phases of whatever to get through, but it's in a couple days, so bet it now, plus 175.
Best swimmer in the world at plus money.
Why would you not?
You don't have to twist my arm. Football's back tonight. Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
It's like not really back, but we will see like NFL teams playing, Bears and Texans.
Yes.
Davis Mills, I think, is better than Tyson Bagent.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going with the Texans. Davis Mills, Texans minus two.
Wow, it probably feels good to see an NFL logo up on the screen.
Yeah,
eh?
It's probably a terrible pick, but I think the Texans got the better starting quarterback tonight, and that's like half the battle in preseason.
Okay. That's it.
That's it.
I want to go play some sports. My favorite day was like did you ever have this at school where it was just like the play day where you just played games all day?
Yeah.
Like track and field day, but you just did like soccer, baseball, and capture the flag. And
those are the best days.
That thing that you did in gym class where you...
I think they need that for adults. Like you can sign up for a summer camp that's for 30
years. Have a couple pops with you.
It'd be amazing.
I think we just started something, folks.
Start a business.
All right. No Blue Jays baseball tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Tee up Jays, Yankees, and Canada basketball, Canada soccer, and Canada swimming. And
golf.
Anything you want. Soccer, baseball, we'll do it. See you tomorrow.